The founder of Amnesty International, Peter Benenson, has died in Oxford, England. He was 83. NPR's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports that Benenson's legacy still shapes the global human rights movement.
Even as a boy, Peter Benenson campaigned for human rights. He convinced his prep school, Eton, to help orphans from the Spanish Civil War. Benenson eventually earned a law degree and pursued his interest in human rights. One day in December of 1960, Benenson picked up the newspaper and read about the plight of two Portuguese students. In a 1991 interview with NPR, Benenson said their case horrified and then inspired him.
I was sitting in a tube train reading a paper, and in it I read of two Portuguese students who'd been arrested, charged, and sentenced. The only evidence against them was that over the dinner table they'd conspired to overthrow the government. I thought then, what a crazy world this is, where two friends can't have dinner together without being arrested. I determined to try and mobilize public opinion throughout the world.
With that lofty goal in mind, Benenson founded Amnesty International in 1961, basing it in London. In 1966, Amnesty issued reports critical of the British government, and government officials were not happy. Benenson feared the government was retaliating by infiltrating secret agents into Amnesty, and he wanted to move its headquarters to what he called a neutral country. Amnesty's board of directors refused, and Benenson broke off all ties. But he gradually resumed contact in the 1970s and carried out some missions for Amnesty. That's when Richard Riach, Amnesty's former media director, worked with Benenson.
At that time, of course, he was older and he wasn't as fiery as he was when he first launched Amnesty International from a tremendous sense of outrage at abuses around the world. But that same fire was still burning in him, and he was still an extraordinarily eloquent campaigner on behalf of human rights victims around the world.
Riach says Benenson got Amnesty staff fired up by having them focus on individual cases. Harold Coe says that was a very effective tactic. Coe is now dean of the law school at Yale, but from 1998 to 2001, he was Assistant Secretary of State for Human Rights in the Clinton administration, and Amnesty staff members used to call him almost every day.
They'd say, here's this person's situation, it's happening tomorrow at 5 o'clock, what are you going to do about it? And how can we help you? Usually I knew about it, and I'd say, what do you know that I don't already know? And often they would have more information, more details.
Coe says that focus on the individual is Benenson's main legacy and has become a standard tactic for human rights groups.
What Amnesty succeeded in doing was making the victims actual human beings with real stories, just like you and me. And they also often told the story of the perpetrators as people who were persons who ought to be punished criminally or in other ways. So they put a human face on the cause of human rights.
Peter Benenson continued to be the public face of Amnesty International, even though he was very ill in his last years. In 2001, he was awarded the Pride of Britain Lifetime Achievement Award. In his acceptance speech, Benenson looked ahead.
I most gratefully accept this award for Amnesty's million members and supporters around the world. It is they who work for our objectives to secure the release of prisoners of conscience, to stamp out torture, and to end the death penalty. I will not be around to see the culmination of this end, but I hope my grandchildren will.
Today, Amnesty International has almost 2 million members and supporters around the world dedicated to implementing Benenson's ideals. Nancy Marshall-Genzer, NPR News.